Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Our phone number here at Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. I am just back, along with a number of pro-life activists and leaders from Montana, Billings, Montana, where there was a wonderful American Right to Life road trip to that state to help them get signatures for their personhood amendment. Boy, it would be a dream to have personhood on two statewide ballots in November. Of course, being an out-of-stater, we were not able to actually collect signatures, but I was able to hand out a couple hundred of the petitions themselves at a single polling place and urged pro-lifers to please get signatures from their family and friends. So it was a wonderful, wonderful trip. Some homeschool kids came along. Just a great time. On the way back, in fact, the whole group stopped at Custer's Last Stand, the National Memorial, Little Bighorn, and what an experience that was, learning about the history of General George Custer, an important part of our history. Tragic part of our history, but it was fascinating to be there and to learn. Okay, want to talk a little bit about Stonehenge and the news that's come out while we were gone, or just this past week, that they think they have a better understanding of what Stonehenge was all about. And of course, that fits in well with a biblical understanding of the history of the world, the pyramids, and so on, the obsession with death and burial because of the rate of decline of lifespans. After Noah's flood, people who had been accustomed to human beings living for many centuries became panicked because people were dying younger and younger and younger ages, generation after generation. And so massive efforts were put into the burial and preparing for burial because people were obsessed with dying, unsure of whether they would live even half the lifespan of their parents and their grandparents and so on. So we'll talk a little bit about Stonehenge. And then this study out for decades, ever since I've been on the radio, that's been 17 years now, liberals have been upset that boys do better than girls in math. And liberals, the media, political correctness, they've complained that this is obviously a result of some kind of bias, bigotry against girls, discrimination. It's some kind of inequality, and it's just not right. In all the years that I've been on the air when this story has surfaced, as it has now again, I've pointed out, why do they only talk about math? Because the girls do so much better than the boys in so many other topics, including reading and language skills. Girls do better than boys. So why aren't the headlines that there's a bias against boys because girls do better in language and reading? Why isn't that the headline? But it never is. It's always the other way around, which shows the absurdity, of course, of feminists and they're ruining the lives of young women to tell young girls that you're really no good unless you could compete with a boy in all the things that boys are better at. And so they hurt young girls and they hurt women generally, suggesting that women are only good if they can be boys. Feminists don't realize it, but they elevate masculinity and men to this perverse level where they tell women that the standard is being a man and you have to be a man. And if you're not a man, if you can't compete like a man in the areas that men excel, well, then there's something wrong with you. And that sets up women for failure. So want to talk about that. And then also in the news this past week has been the National Spelling Bee and the Geography Bee, and how homeschoolers again have been shining as they've done for so many years, even though they're a very small fraction of the overall student population. They just tend to excel. And why would that be? How could it be? In California, a Republican judge ruled that parents can't homeschool their kids, only people with a teacher's certificate. If you are a teacher at a public school, or if you have a certificate to be a teacher, you can be a teacher. But, and this was a Republican judge making this ruling, we always point that out, the vast majority of the horrendous rulings come to us from Republican judges. Well, why is it that homeschool kids excel and do so much better academically than kids who go to public school, when the vast majority of homeschool parents, they don't have teaching certificates, they don't have college degrees, many of them didn't even finish high school, and so many of their kids excel beyond academically, beyond what you get from the professional educators at the public schools. So I'd like to talk about that too. And in this story about equality in rights equals equality in mathematics for students. Now, this is, of course, absurd. They do this study every 3 years. They test, what, hundreds of thousands of students around the world in 40 countries. They study them, Iceland, the U.S., a lot of countries all over the world, Germany and so on. And they look to see if this discrimination is continuing. And they want to get to the point where boys do not do better than girls on math. And what we've pointed out for all these years is that these feminists and these liberals, they cannot think straight. If girls do better than boys on language skills and reading, and boys do better than girls in math, it doesn't mean there's a discrimination against girls. And in fact, if you found a way to somehow get rid of that gap, what you very well may be doing is just finding a way to hurt the boys, their achievements. So you're dumbing down everybody to get rid of the gap. So here's what's happening. Boys outperform girls on math test given to children around the world, and they call this a gender gap, but they say it's less pronounced in countries where women and men have similar rights and opportunities. Now, I want to suggest to you that the entire study is bogus, but that this study will affirm the fear that we've had here at Bob and Yurt Live, that as liberals try to correct this, it doesn't need a correction, but as they try to correct it, what they actually will end up doing is hurting the boys in the one area where the boys excel. So this article out by the Associated Press, and it's all over the country, you could find it online at thedenverpost.com, but the study author says that in more gender-neutral societies, girls are as good as boys in mathematics. And I wonder how the boys do in reading. So this test is done all over the world, and the United States falls somewhere in the middle of the pack in terms of equality for men and women, boys and girls, in the gender gap in math. Well, there are countries like in Germany, where they say there is a lot of gender equality, but where the girl-boy math gap exists anyway. And in reading, girls, now this is in this very article, in reading, girls outperform boys on these exams in every country studied. In every country, the girls outperform boys in every country. Now, why doesn't that mean that there's a bias against boys? Why is it just there's discrimination against girls? I mean, this is all absurdity. And this article affirms the Bob and Yurt Live hypothesis. The gaps widen in places where women are said to have a lot of equality with men. You get that? The reading gaps, where girls outperform boys all over the world in reading. And those gaps widen in the countries where there's supposedly equality, gender equality, neutrality between boys and girls, men and women, in the countries that have done the best to say that there's equality for everybody, the reading gaps widen. They don't get closer. And the boys do even more poorly in reading than in countries where they don't do as much on this supposed gender opportunity bias. Now, what that tells you is that what they're tinkering with is basically hurting boys. They're hurting boys. I mean, for girls to excel at language skills and reading, that's tremendous. God made men and women differently. And women are more naturally inclined toward relational skills. The most important thing in life is relationship. There's nothing more important in life than relationship. By the way, our phone number here at Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-N-YARTS, 1-800-836-9278. If you have thoughts about the personhood movement, how that is going, thoughts about Colorado's legislation, homosexual legislation attacking Christians, feel free to call in. Thoughts about these gender issues, homeschooling, spelling bees, inequality. And I want to let you know also that Brian Rohrbaugh will be going on the radio today from 4 to 6 o'clock doing Gino Geraci's show. And that'll be a tremendous time. That's on KRKS 94.7. But that'll be just great. Brian did that program on Monday. We were in Montana by Monday night, but heard the show went extremely well. Okay, our phone number, 1-800-8-N-YARTS, 1-800-836-9278. So if you begin to tinker with basic roles between men and women, you're going to be telling girls that it's not good enough to be a girl. You got to be a boy if you want to have any self-respect. And you're going to be robbing boys of their masculinity. And you're going to be telling boys, like Hollywood does, that the only good boy is a girly man. Like, you have to be able to cry on cue, and then Hollywood will say, well, he's pretty good. He cries a lot. And a lot of guys watch too much TV and movies, and they think that their girlfriend, fiance, you know, somebody they want to marry is really going to like them if they cry a lot. And so they might sort of give into that impulse and find out that it's backfiring with women. Because women want men, of course, at times it's appropriate for a man to cry. But women want men who are strong and courageous and leaders. They don't want men who are girls. And men want women who are feminine and delicate. Of course, strong and courageous, but at the same time, delicate. And God made women to excel at relationships. And men excel at what? Breaking things. Well, yeah, men do excel at breaking things, but and fixing things and building things. And we know what would happen if everyone woke up tomorrow morning, everyone in the world, and there was a great impassable gulf, and all the men were on one side and all the women were on the other side. We know exactly what would happen. Right? The women would be perfectly content. They would be so content. In fact, it'd be like a holiday for them. And they would start decorating their half of the world, and they'd start planning their menus and having a wonderful old time. And the guys would immediately begin building a bridge to get across the Gulf to the women. And if it took 3 years to build the bridge, the women would watch. They wouldn't even begin to build a platform to receive the oncoming bridge as it's being constructed. They wouldn't even do that. They would just watch as the men spent month after month building the bridge to get to the women. And that's fine. That's the way God made us. He made us differently. So in the countries where they've tried so hard to get rid of the inequality in math results between boys and girls, they've hurt the boys in reading and in math. So the boys' math scores come down, and the girls excel even more in reading. So the bottom line is that liberals are ignorant. Liberals are ignorant. What is it that threatens liberals? That God made them male and female? That is an enormous threat to liberals. Liberals hate fundamental truths, that there is such a thing as right and wrong. They hate it. They're afraid of it. They hate that there is such a thing as truth. They hate that God made us male and female. They hate it. So then we have this story out. Homeschoolers shine at national competitions. By the way, on the same page in the Denver Post that has the story on math and reading results from boys and girls around the world, there's an article on the National Spelling Bee. And so, but that's while the Spelling Bee was in progress. Here I have an update. Homeschoolers shine at national competitions. And we'll get to the phones in one moment. We'll go to Aurora first. 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278. Homeschoolers shine at national competitions. Once again, homeschoolers have shown the world how dedicated parents can achieve academic success with their children. Eighth grader James Williams of Vancouver, Washington, became the second homeschooler in a row to place first in the National Geography Bee. That's pretty cool, huh? James answered the question, Goa, G-O-A, a state in southwestern India, was a possession of what country until 1961? Man, now that's a geography question, huh? Imagine that. You're a student and you're asked this question. There's a state in southwestern India named Goa, G-O-A, and it was a possession of what country until 1961? A state in India. And so he answered Portugal, and he was right. He was right, and he won $25,000. Not bad. James Williams, congratulations. We went to our Cub Scout den. We have three boys that are currently in Cub Scouts, and one of our boys went to a Cub Scout event at a local wildlife preserve. And the guy giving the tour, he had sounds of birds. And he said, I'm going to play you the call of a bird. And I'm going to ask you to see if you can guess what bird makes this sound. Now, this is a few months ago. And he said, I've been doing this for many years. No one has ever got it. Never. Not once. And he plays this, you know, whatever it was. And one of the kids says, oh, that's a red-breasted, whatever, willow wobble. I don't know what it was. And this ranger guy at this wildlife preserve, his jaw dropped open, and he said, you're right. That's what it is. He said, no one has ever gotten that right, ever. And so I interrupted, and I asked, son, what school do you go to? And he said, oh, I'm homeschooled. He's homeschooled. Congratulations, son. Okay. So now, and let's see. Also, Evelyn Blacklock from Tuxedo Park, homeschool eighth grader at New York, plays second in the National Spelling Bee. Wow, that's pretty good. She earns $6,000. And homeschoolers make up 2% of the U.S. school-age population, but they made up 12% of the 250 Spelling Bee finalists and 5% of the 55 Geography Bee finalists. So that means they do like 200 to 600 times better than the average public schooler. Pretty cool. Let's go quickly to Denver, Colorado first. Let's go to Denver. All right. No, let's go to Aurora. Maureen, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Bob, hi. This is Maureen in Aurora. And I tell you that I was a pioneer homeschooler in the mid-70s.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I got so sick of what was going on in the public schools. I went to the local library. I read the law that said every child has to be in a school from the age 6 to 16. Didn't say what a school was.
All right.
So I started in.
Wow. What year was that?
It was mid-70s.
Mid-70s. Maureen, congratulations. You're
thank
one of
you.
The pioneers.
I was. Thank you so much. It was really... it was God-led at that time.
Yes.
And your words to me now are so encouraging.
Oh. And Maureen, now there's what? Over a million kids around the country homeschooled. So very exciting.
What God said to me from his word was, you do this and I will multiply it.
Mm.
And I did it. And it worked.
And it's been multiplied. Look at Czech. Christian Home Educators
I know.
Of Colorado.
Isn't it marvelous?
Kevin Swanson doing probably the best job in all 50 states of affirming the homeschool community to stay on a Christian biblical foundation, because the public schools are trying to tear away the homeschool families by giving them free, godless, atheistic curriculum.
I was using Noah Webster's spelling books. I had Encyclopedia Britannica, and I had Compton's Encyclopedia inherited from my family.
Yes.
And a lot of really good reading and historical textbooks from early America. Right. To all who are involved in it, don't let anything discourage you. Just keep on keeping on.
Amen. Thank you, Maureen from Aurora. God bless you.
Thank you.
Wow, that is so exciting, and so many have followed in Maureen's footsteps. Now let's go to Denver. Carlos, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Good, sir.
First of all, I'd like to give you kudos for what you're doing. I hope God lifts up your work.
Oh, thank you.
Secondly, my doctor homeschooled his children. His wife was a school teacher, and she quit her job and stayed home and schooled their children, and they did very well in college. They were recognized in college to be tutors because they excelled so much.
Wow.
The other thing is, I wanted to ask you, what do you think about this new law that's going to go in effect next week or so, where the bathrooms are gender inspecific? I have a wife and a daughter. I don't like it.
And, Carlos, we looked at Section 39 of the bill, I think it is, where it says when it goes into effect. And it says it goes into effect upon enactment. But so anyway, it's way worse, Carlos, than allowing men to go into the ladies' restrooms. That's almost like the best part of the bill. I mean, that's horrendous, but that's almost like the least horrendous part of the bill. Because this bill outlaws Christian teaching on homosexuality from the public square in Colorado. You cannot sell a book on homosexuality, a Christian book on homosexuality, that says it's wrong for homosexuals to marry, adopt children, and so on. You cannot sell that book in a bookstore in Colorado under this law. That is against the law. this law has a section that says that it is forbidden to publish material that discriminates against homosexuals.
And so that means, if you have, say, a business, and your business is somehow family-oriented, and you have a husband, a traditional husband, wife, and children on a photograph or an image promoting the business, that's illegal as well?
Well, if not necessarily, but let's say you had five or six pictures of your clients, and it's all a man and his wife and their kids, and you didn't have any homo couples.
Right.
A homosexual could very possibly sue you and take it to a homosexual judge in Denver County that you're discriminating. But that's even Carlos, even that is minor. Try to process what I'm saying. It is now against the law to sell or distribute or even give away for free Christian teaching on homosexuality in the public square. You cannot sell a Christian book on homosexuality at Barnes & Noble. It is against the law in Colorado. If it in any way would advocate anything they would consider to be discriminatory.
I get you.
You follow that? You can't even display it. You can't even give away a track if you're part of the public square. If it's in any way involved with any place or business of public accommodation. And the law says only in church can you be a bigot. Only in church can you be biased and display bad behavior. Anywhere else, in any forum of public accommodation, Christian teaching is forbidden in Colorado. You know what? I think the ACLU has probably closed up their office and moved out of the state. Because Colorado's going into censorship. Yeah. Hey, you're right, Carlos. Thank you, Carlos, so much. Appreciate your call.
Sure.
Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great school in Arvada. Maranatha. May God bless you guys. And that's Maranatha Christian Center.